Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opal, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Now, just over 2 weeks ago, Dr. Gabrielle Colleran told us that she knew of one teenager who had been given a medical appointment for 2035. And 10 months ago, our reporter Brian O'Connell brought us the story of the Terry family in Cork, whose then 9-year-old boy Adam was waiting on much needed scoliosis surgery. Now, following the broadcast, there seemed to be some movement in Adam's case, and the family felt that they were advancing towards his much needed surgery. But unfortunately, they say things have gotten worse for Adam, and they still have no scheduled date for his surgery and no timeline for when they might have a date. And now their jaded optimism is turning to anger. So, Brian, you went back to meet the family at the weekend. What did they have to say?
I did. And good morning, Claire. And really, it all came from Adam, who wanted to speak about how things are for him right now and to ask publicly why he hasn't had his much needed surgery. So I spent time with the Terry family on Sunday, and it was very upsetting at times. And this is an emotional listen. It's emotional because they feel they've been very badly let down by the system, and they feel they're losing confidence in our health services to deliver an outcome for Adam. Adam is now 10. He lives with several daily difficulties. He was born with a rare condition called Marfan syndrome, which affects the connective tissues. He has a heart issue as well, and he's had multiple surgeries. But as you're going to hear, Adam is a very bright, articulate boy, but he's family are at breaking point now, because even though they were told his case was urgent 4 years ago, because of the impact the curve in his spine is having on his internal organs, they have no idea, as you said, when he will have his surgery. Now, we know we have ongoing issues in this country with waiting lists for scoliosis surgeries, and obviously COVID clearly hasn't helped. But let's hear Adam's mum, Christine, update us on where things are for Adam right now.
We were speaking to you in December of 2020, and we were told at that point that Adam was going to receive his scoliosis surgery in the spring. At an appointment in February, I was told by the surgeon that actually now I was going to be waiting another 6 to 9 months. We had been waiting since August 2019 on the urgent list. Adam's weight was ridiculous. He was so underweight. It was affecting his meal times, where he was eating very small quantities of food.
Mm-hmm. Because the curvature was impacting on his stomach.
That's right. It was squashing against the stomach. So that was 4 years prior to the August of 2019. It's literally going on that long.
And then in February this year, you had your meeting with the consultant. And I remember touching base with you. And there was a little bit of optimism there.
Yeah, we were told we were going to be done in the spring. And then I was up in the hospital on a routine examination with Adam in February. And the surgeon told us, actually, no, you're going to be waiting another 6 to 9 months. We honestly couldn't believe it, because Adam was down to 18 kgs. I just remind you, Adam is 10 years old. At that point, his day-to-day quality of life was horrendous, and the hospital knew this. We just honestly couldn't believe that we were going to have to wait another 6 to 9 months. But again, you know, we came together, me and Adam. We thought, you know something? We've waited 4 years in total. We can wait again. We've just been really taking it day by day, but it is having such a negative impact on the quality of Adam's life now that it's actually affecting the whole family. Adam became so in so much pain that he now has to join the CUH pain management team. The chest cavity is now making direct contact with the pelvis, so you've bone on bone. Adam was in so much pain. I was so worried about what was happening internally. You must imagine, this spine is impacting, you know, his lungs, his stomach. He has a heart condition. He actually has an aneurysm. It's the worry of what is actually going on inside and what could happen. That's very hard to deal with. It's watching your beautiful child suffer. If I wasn't looking after Adam properly at home, I would be in so much trouble. Adam would be taken away from me. Mm-hmm. This country has completely... I mean, I don't know what they're doing with the kids. It seems to be children with who are very, very complex are being left behind. The sickest kids were always seen first. That's not my experience this time. I've been told because he's so complex that they're having a really hard time finding and clearing, you know, there needs to be 4 or 5 surgeons present during this now huge operation, which if it had been done 2 years ago, it wouldn't have gotten to this stage. It wouldn't have to be such an extensive surgery. And every day he's being left, it gets worse.
So it's so hard to listen to that, Brian. You spoke to Adam also. They'd hoped to have the surgery, as Christine said, in spring. That didn't happen. So where exactly do things stand now?
Yeah, I mean, we know scoliosis is a very complex surgery. It does require a whole multidisciplinary team. And as you heard in Adam's case, because he has underlying health issues, it is very complex. The family know this. They've always accepted this. But the impact on Adam's day-to-day life has increased, and the family's frustration is now turning to anger. They feel let down. They feel the goalposts shift every time they have an appointment. And they're actually now considering accessing this surgery in Great Ormond Street in London. But the issue with this is, if you need follow-on care, you have to keep going back to London. And for Adam and the kind of surgery it is, there will be follow-on care. Now, Christine told me about their last appointment in Crumlin when the family were told the surgery is now more complex.
The initial surgery that they wanted to do, they now feel that it's too dangerous to do and that he wouldn't survive. So they're now going to have to do a different surgery. They're not going to get the same results that they hoped to get, which is really heartbreaking. Pain might actually be something that he needs to deal with now every day, which is, again, very hard to hear. But I'm sure my amazing little boy will get on with it. I'm upset now and I'm crying. But that's pure anger and rage and frustration at the whole thing. It's just, I'm exhausted from it. And I hate saying that. Because, Brian, I'm the one who's well. I'm the one who's healthy. Can you imagine how Adam feels? I need Adam to know that I will go to the ends of the earth for him to get whatever treatment he needs to get.
And then you're having, thanks for talking to me, but then you're having to go public and you're having to use the media to try and...
It's disgusting. I am such a private person, like... Adam is my little, he's my world. It's my job as his mother to protect him as much as I can. Adam's been asking me for weeks to do this interview and I really didn't want to do it because every time you put yourself out there, this is our life, This is our everyday struggle. It's honestly so hard to sit even in front of you, Brian, and get this upset and cry and be upset in front of Adam as well. It's not right. I don't know what to do at this point. And I am raising a little boy with very complex needs. Adam doesn't feel heard. He's not a number. He is a little boy from Cork living with this and struggling with this. And his entire family is every single day.
A listener says, Brian, texting us to 51551, how in a so-called civilised country can this happen to a child? It's so upsetting to listen to what the Terry family are going through. It's a disgrace. And since last week, Adam hasn't been able to go to school, Brian, because of the pain.
Well, the school got in touch last week and asked that Adam be taken home because he was clearly in so much pain in school and he's been at home since. And the pain is now such that he wakes at night. He's exhausted, as you can imagine. But even with Adam being home then to try and access home tutoring hours, that's another battle. It feels like for the family every step of the way is a battle here. And Christine feels huge appreciation for Crumlin. They saved Adam's life when he was born, but now she can't accept the fact that he still hasn't been given a date for surgery.
And you spoke to Adam himself.
Absolutely. Adam wants his voice to be heard. He wants for decision makers and for people with influence to listen to him, to listen to his day-to-day lived experience. He's a very bright, articulate, he's a very talented young boy. He knows the odds are sometimes stacked against him and he has a high pain threshold. And as his mum Christine told me, Claire, when Adam tells you he's in pain, he really is in pain. So this is Adam Terry, 10 years old, waiting over 4 years for what is urgent scoliosis surgery. And I asked Adam first, how would he describe the pain he's in?
I describe it as in like almost paralysing. Like, it's really sore, and like sometimes I have to lie down and roll around for it to actually stop. Sometimes I actually have to like crack my back to actually relieve the pain.
And do you feel like you're being heard in all of this, Adam?
No, I feel like I'm just like at the bottom of the barrel and nobody's coming out to find me in the lost and found. I feel really, to be honest, sometimes I feel like I'm crying myself to sleep because it's so unfair. It just makes me angry and frustrated and sad.
And when you were in the hospital last time, did you feel like, well, okay, maybe there's a little bit of progress?
No, not really. Mm-hmm. I know there's like, I don't know, 178 something kids mm-hmm. also waiting, but I don't really want to speak on their behalf. Mm-hmm. I want to speak about me. I want me to be treated. I want to be heard of. I want to people to like assess me and treat me and make sure I don't feel any pain. And if we're lucky, maybe even the surgery, you know.
Mm-hmm. How does it affect your day-to-day life now? What are the things you'd love to be doing now?
Yeah, I really miss all my friends. And it's actually kind of getting harder to socialise because sometimes I can't even speak because I'm worried I'm going to cry and I don't want
to
cry.
What would your message be to people who may be listening, people in government or people within the hospital management or within the HSE?
I would just say, why is it run like this? It's not that hard to just cut open someone's body, put some metal thingy in and then put it, like, get it done.
So what do you want to hear in the next few days and weeks, Adam?
I want to hear maybe they're after mentioning me in a meeting and they, or else they have my date.
Listening to Adam and Christine is just gut-wrenching, says Marion. My heart goes out to him and his family. This dreadful situation has to be addressed as a matter of urgency. Another, listening to Adam and Christine, our son is 13. He was diagnosed 5 years ago. He's still on the waiting list to be called by the National Health Service for a consultation. I assume that's the HSE they mean. We took the decision to pay privately, which is very costly. He's now in his fifth back brace at the cost of €3,000 each. Luckily, we can take on extra work to cover the costs. Another, this is so hard to hear. This country should be ashamed of itself. To hear Adam say he feels like he's at the bottom of the barrel. How and why is this happening? And Brian, you have been in touch with Children's Health Ireland. What have they had to say?
Yeah, Children's Health Ireland is the body which oversees children's health care now. They point to COVID-19 and to the recent cyber attack, but they acknowledge that the waiting times for scoliosis have significantly worsened as a result. And this has increased the frustration and anxiety for children and families, so they're acknowledging that. Now, they have submitted a significant proposal to try and expand theatre capacity in Crumlin and in Temple Street. It's been considered by the HSE. It's part of the annual estimates process. They sincerely regret the deterioration in the service and the waiting times. They're going to continue to work with advocacy groups to try and improve things.
All right, Brian, thank you very much indeed for bringing us that this morning. And I think this listener says it all, really. This is so heart-wrenching. Why is our country failing this child and his family? It sounds like something you'd hear in the developing world. I'm in tears here.